This is the Archaeology News Weekly, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Apologies for the break in service, but we are back now, and I'd like to give my personal best wishes to Alice. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. An Iron Age rampart is unearthed in Wiltshire. The human hobbits discovery has been dismissed. The impact of a volcanic eruption in prehistoric Scotland is being discussed. And Bronze Age body is hoped to return for a museum's 25th anniversary. An Egyptian geologist backs the amazing Bosnian pyramid claim. And an investigation into the disappearance of ancient people in Siberia has begun. Brazilian Stonehenge is discovered in the Amazon, and new discoveries confirm winemaking on Santorini in the Bronze Age. And we look at the brutal lives of Neolithic Britons and the proposals to recreate Stonehenge. And finally, a Mexican monolith may cast new light on Mesoamerica. A dig near Malmesbury town walls in Wiltshire in England has uncovered a substantial stone-fronted defensive rampart and deep ditch, which could date to the Iron Age. Archaeologists believe the prehistoric hill fort would have had impressive multiple defences rising above the valley of the River Avon. English Heritage said the results were very exciting and showed how important the town was. A project spokesman said that it was the first time that the area outside the line of defences had been examined archaeologically. The finds add to discoveries recorded during the previous investigation carried out during November 2005 during restoration work on the walls. And this revealed new evidence about the nature of the town's defences. When the collapsing stone of the wall was removed, substantial clay deposits almost 3 metres high were found. Archaeologists identified these as the upper rampart of the Iron Age hill fort on which Malmesbury was later built. It is believed the whole of the East Gate Bastion is an artificially constructed fortified gate built to extend the area of the former hill fort and to provide substantial and impressive stone defences. Professor Mike Morwood of the University of New England in Armidale, Australia, stunned the science world when he and his team announced the discovery of 18,000-year-old remains of the diminutive new human species Homo floresiensis on the Indonesian island of Flores in 2003. The hominid, nicknamed the Hobbit, was thought to be an entirely new species of human with a brain the size of a grapefruit. In the journal Science, a team led by Professor Robert Martin of the Field Museum in Chicago, which includes Professor Anne McLarnon of Roehampton University in London, says the bones in question do not represent a new species at all. A far more likely explanation is that the bones belong to a modern human who suffered from microcephaly. Homo floresiensis was claimed to be a dwarf derived from Homo erectus, a human ancestor that lived as far back as 1.8 million years ago. This seemed to be an appealing explanation because islands are known to play tricks on the evolution of animals, sometimes causing them to shrink due to limited food supplies and the reduced presence of predators. But there's a pattern in the shrinkage, and while body size can shrink considerably, brain size always does so moderately. Using data on the best specimen of the Hobbit, called LB1, the scientific paper points out that to be a dwarfed form of Homo erectus, it would have had to have been just 1 foot tall, with a body weight of only 4 pounds to explain such a diminutive brain. The tiny cranial capacity of LB1, which is smaller than any other known hominid younger than 3 million years old, is demonstrably far too small to have been derived from Homo erectus by normal dwarfing. Small brain size is just one of the several problems with the science behind the claims that LB1 represents a new species, according to Professor Martin and his colleagues. The primary problem, clashing directly with the tiny brain size, is the sophisticated nature of the stone tools found in the same cave deposits where the fossils were discovered. Based on their size, style and workmanship, these tools belong to types that are consistently associated with modern humans or Homo sapiens. Such tools have never been associated with Homo erectus or any other early hominid. Another problem with the science surrounding the interpretation of the Flores fossils is that a distinct species of hominid, so closely resembling modern humans but living only 18,000 years ago, is inconceivable given that Homo sapiens had almost certainly reached Flores by that time. The team also points out that a recent attempt to rule out the possibility that LB1 could have been microcephalic is flawed. This leaves the theory that LB1 was a microcephalic modern human as the only plausible explanation for the Flores fossils. This is according to Professors Martin, McLaren, Phillips and their colleagues. Professor Martin added that there has been too much media hype and too little critical scientific evaluation surrounding the discovery, and it's unacceptable that papers should be published without providing proper details of the specimens examined. Mount Hekla is one of Iceland's most active volcanoes. It was known to islanders as the gateway to hell, with good reason. When it erupted in 1159 BCE, the effects were felt hundreds of miles away. In Scotland, the whole of the west coast was devastated. A sulfuric cloud of ash and acid rain fell on the land, a tsunami raced across the sea, and the sun was hidden for years. Such an event immediately changed the lives of the inhabitants of what we now call Scotland, and may well have permanently changed their way of life. Alistair Moffat, author of Before Scotland, has no doubt that when Hekla blew, the west coast inhabitants must have heard the boom and panicked. Moffat thinks that they would have been in no doubt that the gods were angry. The eruption would have been heralded with ferocious electrical storms, and weather would have changed. These people, who we think lived by gathering food from the sea, would have been seeing their livelihood disappear. The sea changed, crops would have failed, and afterwards, for a generation. By measuring tree rings in ancient trees, you can see that it was a climate-changing event. It shows that for 18 to 20 years, there were no summers. Faced with this, Moffat maintains that the people would have had little choice but have moved, quitting the populous west coast and moving to the east. This sudden influx of people moving east resulted in, according to Moffat, a change from a hunter-gatherer society into a much more warrior-like one. Archaeological records also support this. There were more swords and less plowshares found, is a crude way of putting it. The decorative jewellery from this time also speaks of a warrior elite. Moffat believes that the pressure for land led to the creation of what he describes as iron warlords, people who won their honour and wealth through battle and protecting land. It is possible that people's religious lives also changed in reaction to the cataclysmic events after Hekla. Moffat believes that the people in prehistoric Scotland started to worship by water, hoping to propitiate the gods who had command of the sea. Plans to display Wincanton's oldest resident at an anniversary celebration may have to be scrapped. Wincanton Museum in Somerset in England celebrates its 25th anniversary this year, and preparations are underway to mark the event. However, Wincanton and District Museum and History Society is concerned that the star attraction, the remains of a Bronze Age man discovered in the town in 1870, may not be able to take part in the party. The body, which includes a skull, is currently kept at Somerset County Museum in Taunton, but its importance and fragility means permission may be refused for its return to Wincanton. Jeff Kingaby, Secretary of the Society, said, "We are hoping that the town's oldest resident will return to the town to celebrate the museum's anniversary. A lot depends on whether we can get the Bronze Age man. If we can, we'll extend the museum's opening times to give people a chance to see it." Stephen Minnett, the head of the county museum, said that they would love to support Wincanton Museum in its celebration, and they are happy with the principle of the loan. But the main issue is that there is a suitable, secure case to house the items. These items are fragile and are considered important archaeological finds. The remains were found in a now disused limestone quarry on Windmill Farm when workers broke through stone and discovered the skeleton 7 feet below the ground, along with one of the largest beaker-shaped pots to be found in Britain. Pieces of stag antler and flint scraper were also found. The finds have been dated to around 2000 BCE, the era that the main monument at Stonehenge is thought to have been constructed. Wincanton's museum anniversary celebrations take place from Wednesday to Wednesday, 19th to the 26th of July this year. And back to Bosnia. Yes, an Egyptian geologist said that the hill in central Bosnia appeared to be a primitive human-made pyramid of uncertain age. Geologist Ali Abd Barakat was sent by Egypt's government to join the local team researching what Bosnian-born amateur archaeologist Semir Osmanagic said are three 12,000-year-old pyramids. The Bosnian pyramids of the sun, moon, and now the dragon. In my opinion, it is a type of pyramid, probably primitive pyramid, that we did not know about before, Barakat told reporters at the dig on the northeast side of Isikotja Hill, where huge stone blocks have been found. It's difficult for nature to create blocks like this and orientate it in one orientation, he says, pointing to compacted polished blocks. He also added that sand layers between the blocks were the same type of artificial cement used in ancient Egypt pyramids. Barakat said detailed study was needed to determine the age of the excavated blocks and the type of material used, and said that more Egyptian archaeologists would join the team in Bosnia. Osmanagic's theory about pyramids in Bosnia has been denounced by local and European archaeologists who say that ancient civilizations in Europe lived in caves and could not have built such structures. But the US-based researcher has invited skeptics to come to Bosnia. He's saying that they say that civilizations could not build such objects. I say, here's an object, and I invite them to come and find out from which period it dates. Osmanagic has announced the existence of two more pyramid-shaped objects in the Visoko Valley, 18 miles north of the Bosnian capital of Sarajevo. Well, I think I know where I'm going to place my money. The Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council of Canada announced an investment of $2.5 million in the research project that will investigate the link between climate change and human genetics, and the disappearance of an entire culture from the boreal forest region of Siberia between 7000 and 6000 BCE. With the help of DNA analysis, radiocarbon dating and climate modelling, University of Alberta Professor Weber will lead an international team of scholars in examining 10,000 to 5,000-year-old human remains from ancient cemeteries in the Lake Baikal region of Russia. Thanks to previous funding from the SSHRC, they already know there is a 1,200-year gap in history where the people living in this region just seem to have disappeared. But now they have to figure out exactly what caused them to leave and whether the groups that appeared more than 1,000 years later were genetically and culturally related to the first. One possible key, says Weber, is an ancient shift in climate that, together with social and economic factors, caused a dramatic change in the ancient people's culture, diet and migration patterns. To put all the pieces of this giant puzzle together, Weber has assembled a team of 29 anthropology, archaeology, geography, genetics and climate experts from the universities in Russia, Britain, Canada and the United States. With the help of more than 50 graduate students, excavations of the cemetery sites will begin this summer, and the unearthed samples will be sent back to Canadian laboratories for analysis. This project will build new understanding of Canada's own ancient Aboriginal peoples and contribute to the contemporary debates surrounding the effects of climate change on human culture. Brazilian archaeologists have found an ancient stone structure in a remote corner of the Amazon that may cast new light on the region's past. The site, thought to be an observatory or place of worship, predates European colonization and is said to suggest a sophisticated knowledge of astronomy. Its appearance is being compared to the English site of Stonehenge. It was traditionally thought that before European colonization, the Amazon had no advanced societies. The archaeologists made the discovery in the state of Amapá in the far north of Brazil. A total of 127 large blocks of stone were found driven into the ground on top of a hill. Well preserved, and each weighing several tons, the stones were arranged upright and evenly spaced. It is not yet known when the structure was built, but fragments of indigenous pottery found at the site are thought to be over 2,000 years old. What impressed researchers was the sophistication of the construction. The stones appear to have been laid out to help pinpoint the winter solstice, when the sun was at its lowest in the sky. It's thought the ancient people of the Amazon used the stars and phases of the moon to determine crop cycles. Although the discovery at Amapá is being compared to Stonehenge, the ancient stone circle in southern England, the ancient site in England is of course considerably older. The excavation at Akrotiri on Thera, or modern-day Santorini in Greece, has given more information about viticulture in the Cyclades in the Bronze Age. Thanks to modern methods and techniques, archaeologists have concluded that Akrotiri had one of the richest collections of flora and fauna in the Aegean at that time. Among the samples analysed are traces of vinewood coal and grape stems that appear with great frequency. That means that viticulture was one of the farming activities on Thera, at least during the 17th century BCE. Grapes are depicted on jars dating from that time, both painted and embossed, indicating that grapes were not simply a product to be traded, but a popular foodstuff too. Of course, these findings confirm that grapes were cultivated, but not necessarily that wine was produced. Although for this we have other more tangible indications and references, such as jars with a tap just above the narrow base. The jars, found in Akrotiri, differ from their predecessors in the 3rd millennium BCE in that right above the tap there are decorations consisting exclusively of a line of circles. Each line is different with regard to what it encircles. 9 different designs have been recognised, each of them apparently functioning as an indication of the type of product stored within. One wonders if they refer to just the type of product, the variety or quality. It's difficult to name 9 different liquid products that could be stored in jars, so archaeologists suppose that it was just one product with 9 different varieties or qualities. The only one that comes to mind is, of course, wine. Storing wine according to category was already known in Homeric times. But all this does not constitute proof that wine was produced. That came from the bowels of the earth in Santorini, in the form of a pair of vessels found in all wine presses in Minoan Crete. The discovery of a wine press at Akrotiri not only confirmed the production of wine on the site, but gave what is to date the only information about the processing of must, a cylindrical container made of the wood of the chaste tree, of a size that would lead one to assume that it had been used in the wine press, was found filled with lime and closed with a lid, also made of woven chaste tree branches. Also in Linear B inscription engraved on the lip of a jar is a logogram for wine as found on ancient monuments in Crete, confirming the use of the particular jar for storing wine. I'll raise a glass to that one. A survey of British skulls from the early part of the Neolithic shows societies then were more violent than was supposed. Early Neolithic Britons had a 1 in 20 chance of suffering a skull fracture at the hands of someone else, and a 1 in 50 chance of dying from these injuries. Details were presented at a meeting of the Society for American Archaeology and reported in the New Scientist magazine. Blunt instruments such as clubs were responsible for most of the traumas. This was not the first time human-induced injuries have been identified in Neolithic people, but the authors say it is the first study to give some idea of the overall frequency of these traumas. 350 skulls, spanning the period from 4000 BCE to 3200 BCE, were examined. Nearly 5% of the skulls showed healed depressed fractures. The specialist found unhealed injuries in 2% of the sample, suggesting that these individuals died from their wounds. But the true scale of the violence still remains unclear due to the nature of the evidence. In other simple, small-scale societies, the incidence of death as a result of violence ranges from 8 to 33%. The researchers suspect that what we are seeing is violence at a local and regional rather than a large-scale warfare involving large sections of the county. We could also be seeing raiding parties, cattle rustling, or somebody suspecting another tribe across the hill of practicing witchcraft. Some of the violence may also be domestic, some of it may even be ritualistic. The majority of the traumas were caused by blunt instruments, which may have included improvised clubs, but a handful of fractures look like they have been inflicted by flint arrowheads and spear points. One of the females in the sample appears to have been the victim of a rather brutal attack with a stone axe. Another individual, with a suspected projectile fracture, appears to have had their ears slashed off, a possible instance of trophy-taking, the researchers speculate. An ambitious project to recreate Stonehenge as it would have looked 4,000 years ago is being planned. Fragments of only 3 circles remain, but quarry firm Preseli Bluestone want to build all 7 from scratch. It's hoped the circles will be completed by 2009. The new site will be open then to visitors. An exact location is yet to be decided, but the Cotswold Water Park, which straddles Wiltshire and Gloucestershire, is one of several sites being considered. Preseli Bluestone owns a quarry in Wales where the stones for the ancient Wiltshire monument originally came from. Colin Shearing from the company said that they don't want to replicate Stonehenge as it stands today, but rather of how it would have looked when completed 4,000 years ago. The new Stonehenge will be built using both modern and ancient methods, which the public would be invited to watch. The plans are in the very early stages, but they aim to create a 21st century landmark architectural heritage sculpture, which allows visitors to walk amongst and touch the stones, has begun. A carved monolith unearthed in Mexico may show that the Olmec civilization is one of the oldest in the Americas, and it was more widespread than thought of before. Findings at the newly excavated Tamtoc archaeological site in the north central state of San Luis Potosi may prompt scholars to rethink a view of Mesoamerican history, which holds that its earliest peoples were based in the south of Mexico. The Olmecs are considered the mother culture of pre-Hispanic Mexico. Ruins of Olmec centers, believed to have flourished as early as 1200 BCE, have been found in the Gulf State coasts, states of Veracruz and Tabasco, with only scattered artifacts found elsewhere. Workers restoring a canal at the site stumbled on the stone monolith. It appears to represent a lunar calendar and contains three human figures and other symbols in relief. At 25 feet long and 13 feet high, and weighing more than 30 tons, it may date to as early as 900 BCE. Experts will try to interpret the icons to learn more about the artists and their culture. At Tamtoc, scientists have found evidence of an advanced civilization with a hydraulic system, canals, and other technology, making it the oldest and most advanced center of its time found in what later became Huasteco Indian region. The 330-acre complex has three plazas and more than 70 buildings, and may indicate that the Olmecs migrated northwards and mingled with the native peoples there. Well, once again, can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as in a UK heritage calendar, a library, guidance section, and so much more can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And of course, I have to mention that the new Badger website has been completely revised. The long-awaited Badger 2 is here, with a more intuitive navigation and a host of new features. And remember also that more can be found at Stone Pages. That's news.stonepages.com. Thank you very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you'll return again next week.